listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Got to let this play a little bit here. Because, you know, our next guest is a man of wealth, taste, sophistication, panache. Somewhere over the rainbow. And this is not Judy Garland. All right, we welcome in now Warren Barton, former defender for Newcastle. You've seen him on World Cups here in the United States with coverage on Fox. He's also covered the Bundesliga. Warren, what did you think of my music selection for you? It's kind of a California mellow.
Old would be the word, Glenn, that I think you're looking for as well. I know you're mature, but an older person would be a bit more mellow. But I take anything when you get to my age. You know what it's like, Glenn. You're not too many years behind me. Put it that
no,
way.
Shoot. I think I'm ahead of you, quite frankly.
Yeah, but you look a lot better than me. That's the problem.
I'm not sure about that. I think you're the man. Well, Warren, thank you very much for coming on. It's great to hear your voice. And welcome back. I'm going to start it off because you were covering very in-depth the German Bundesliga, and you have followed it. You are following it. Just give me your impressions of, you know, the execution of the games this weekend and some of the things I think that we really did expect when it came to form and things.
Yeah, I think overall, Glenn, I think we was all pleased to have some live sports, you know, whether it was NASCAR that we see, there was obviously golf. We've had, you know, MMA fighting. But to have soccer, which is obviously close to all of our hearts, it was refreshing to see. Was it the ideal scenario? No, you know, obviously with the lack of fans being there, but I thought the quality was there. Obviously, Dortmund was sensational in their game. But I think, Glenn, you're of my mindset as well, where, you know, we got caught up a little bit in the finance and money and corporate and TV deals. It makes you appreciate how much you miss the fans. It really does. You know, they do have such a big part of the game. They get so much involved in the game, and I think it was hard for the players to generate obviously any atmosphere, but it was a step in the right direction. The precautions was there that they needed to. It was a green light for everybody else. You've seen now obviously with the Premier League ramping up their testing, what they're doing. But I think by and large, you know, the Bundesliga did themselves justice. They did themselves, you know, proud. Players obviously a little bit rusty. Yes, and I've been that, where you've had a pre-season, you come in, your first game is not ideally situated, where the tempo and again the atmosphere generates that as well. Union Berlin, who played Bayern Munich on the Sunday, I mean, that place is normally rocking, and for them players at home to play against Bayern in an empty stadium must have been very difficult. Bayern was very professional and get the job done, but it was just great to see, and I thoroughly enjoyed it waking up in the morning and watching on soccer. And then, you know, from that point of view, as I said, the Premier League, the Bundesliga, La Liga started to go, Serie A as well. But I did feel for the players because, you know, they was put into a situation, but we're professionals, you know, and when you go out, I did it for 18 years, when that whistle goes, you just go into auto mode and start playing. But I just think it gives us a little outline of how much fans do have a big part of it. I know, you know, Dortmund, 80,000 fans that are normally there, Glenn, but, you know, we take it for granted. It's about the money. It's about the Champions League. It's about corporate. You know what? It is about the fans as well.
Yeah, oh, great. That's a great call, and I like that too. And that's why I'm going to put this out there, because our good friend Alexi Lalas wants piped in music. I don't. I think we should wrap our arms around the times, empty stadiums, the natural sound, because this is going to get registered in history, and somebody's going to look at this 100 years from now when we're all gone, and they're going to say, wow, this was a crisis time for the Bundesliga. It was a historic time. I'm not up for the artificiality. I think we get enough of that in life.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, Lexi, you'd be kidding people. You know, they're not really. I tell you what I did. I'm going to mention it to my younger teams that I coach in San Diego, is that you could hear the players talk. Communication
Absolutely.
Is such a big part of the game. And normally when you're playing in front of, you know, when I was doing it, 52,000 people, you can't hear yourself think, let alone speak to anybody. But you could hear the instructions. You could hear the voices. You could hear the coaches. And that was a bit unique. You're right, Glenn, because people look back and say, oh, do you remember, you know, this conversation or this instructions that people get? So I think from that point of view, there's a learning curve for a young player to say, you know, talking is a big part of the game. I know with my, you know, my kids, the 04s, 03s, I want them to be leaders. I want them to talk, to give people instructions. And watching this Bundesliga with no fans there, there's only 200 people in the stadium, there's another thing you can maybe pick out of it. That, you know, listen to people communicate, whether it's the goalkeeper or people talking. You know, I think that's something that we can embrace. But you're right, Glenn, I don't want to hear fans jumping up and down and singing and things like that. You know, that's not, they're not there. So don't try and kid people.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I think it's disrespectful to the yes, supporters, yes. Honestly.
I don't think you've got to embrace what it is. Baseball's going to have it. I think maybe even football might be looking at, college football may be having that. But yeah, I think you're right. It's history and something that we have to embrace. Is it ideal? No, because as I said, the fans are a big part of the game. But it also, you know, lets you know that people do communicate on the game. There are instructions that are going on. And that's something that you don't really get a chance to hear in a normal, you know, Bundesliga game because of the fans are so loud.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating. We're talking to Warren Barton, a defender for Newcastle for many, many years, playing up there in Geordieland with that big club in England. You know, the other thing, too, was there were managers now that normally might not be saying much because they can only talk to somebody within earshot of their coaching box. There were managers that were a lot more talkative this weekend.
Yeah, as I said, that's something that now they can communicate and you could hear it. And, you know, my German's not great, but you could hear the instructions that it was given out. So from that point of view, Dan, like I said, it's all intriguing for us. It's fascinating about the game. We love the game. We coach the game. We talk about the game. And just watching it, and that's one thing that jumped out to me straight away. Me and my son was watching the game Saturday morning. Was like, you could hear the voices. He said, you can hear them talking. You can hear them giving out instructions. I said, well, that's what you've got to try and do. They do that in a game, but when it's turned up and there's 80,000 people screaming, we don't hear that at home, but you hear it on the field. So, you know, that's something that we can take on. And you said the coaches now can get their points across a little bit clearer and a little bit more instructions. You can't now say as a player, next player, oh, sorry, I couldn't hear you. The crowd was too loud, like I used to do. But it's something for the coaches to get their instructions out there. So yeah, it's all new, Glenn. It's all so different. It's so new. It's, you know, it's been such a hard time for so many people. But, you know, we are embracing what's going on, and, you know, it's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Warren Barton joining us, former Newcastle defender. And look, you know, we're always on these conversations on this show in the context of the big picture, what's going on. There's lots of really serious things going on with people from this whole COVID-19 experience and people without jobs and everything else. So everything we're doing here is in the context of the big, big picture. You would have to think that a lot of other leagues around the world, certainly we know they were all watching, all the leagues in the U.S., all the leagues overseas, the boost of confidence for them, I think, has to be pretty big. We just had the president of the Houston Dynamo on, John Walker, and he just said, you know, there is a little nice nudge and shot of confidence now after just seeing the execution by Germany. Would there have been a better league? I don't think so, in getting it started with their attention to detail.
No, I think when you think of the Germans, is they're efficient, they're organised, they're disciplined in what they do, and that's how they are at their training grounds and their facilities. And, you know, they've had it, their leader at the beginning has been spot on of what she wanted the country to be able to do, testing, quarantine, isolating people. So there's no doubt that the Germans have done it the right way. And again, how they've been strict in what they need to do, because, you know, Glenn, it's a matter of life and death, of like you said. And now for people to get back playing, and there's a Troy Deeney at Watford, a player that's not comfortable going back to training for Watford at the moment, and he's one of their major players, and they're in a relegation battle because his five-month-old son has breathing problems. So it's hitting everybody, and it's, you know, whether you're a multimillionaire or you're just a young kid in the Bundesliga trying to earn your trade, it's hitting everybody. So for the Germans to be able to do it, how efficient they are, how responsive they are to doing things. As you said, it comes from no better country by doing that. And they've set the guidelines. I know, you know, we're looking at today with the sports programs. Baseball have took about 40 pages from the Bundesliga about how they want to do things. You know, no high fives, no touching, no celebration, that type of thing. So it's been a flagship for everybody. And please God, it all goes smoothly this week and next week. And then it's starting to seem in my state now, California, you know, we're looking at the governor to maybe let club, you know, youth soccer, youth sports start getting to off the ground running, where we haven't had anything now for like 9-10 weeks. So it's been very difficult for the kids in this local area. I know states are different all over the world, all over America. But, you know, if that's okay here, maybe we can allow this to happen. Maybe we can get a little bit further forward and then start getting back to some sort of normality.
Talking to Warren Barton. By the way, Warren, yesterday, Monday, youth soccer was allowed back here in Texas. There were teams that had, I don't know how they're doing tryouts. It's not easy, but they went through all their protocols, and some of the clubs were back on fields. Now, if they trained at county fields that were under county supervision and that county didn't want to open their parks, then they weren't allowed back. But from the state level, youth clubs were allowed to come back. So it was all about state and county.
We had the same thing, Glenn, exactly the same. We had the okay from the club soccer, and they said it was fine. But our state is a little bit more different. And, you know, it's like everybody, but that's music to my ears to hear that that's been going on. And it's great for the kids and the coaches to get out there, because we've done Zoom calls. We've done, you know, coaching seminars. We try to engage the kids as much as we can. And it's always difficult. There's nothing better than being on the field with the kids.
Yeah, no question about Warren Barton joining us. Hey, Warren, I wanted to ask you about Hansi Flick, because he took over for Bayern Munich. He's really righted the ship. He's 34 points out of a possible 36. What can you say about that manager and how he's moved into that situation at that giant club?
I think he had the utmost respect straight away from the big leaders in that changing room. So, you know, they've won World Cups with him, and they understand his coaching role. And when you are at a big club, it's not necessarily you need to have a big, you know, personality. You need to have respect by your senior players. And he had that straight away. And he's brought people like Thomas Muller back into the fold, where he was maybe getting eased out a little bit, and they was looking to try to go a little bit younger, but trying to maybe change too quickly. So the biggest thing when you are a coach with big players, and I had it at Newcastle, is, you know, we had Ruud Gullit that come in, and, you know, great respect as a player, but it didn't take as long not to respect him because how he was man management style. He's come in and people respect him straight away, and then they've got results. Then his coaching style, then his man management. You don't hear of him being in any press conferences, being outlandish or saying outrageous things. He lets his coaching do the work and lets his players go out there and let them do the talking. And I think when you have a high-profile club like that with big players, you've got to let them have responsibility. If you try and take over, and that's the problem Mourinho's had in the last few years, he's tried to be the bigger attention rather than the players. He's just got on with the job. He realised the pressure. He was there as a player many, many years ago. He's got the utmost respect from the senior players. And the younger players have come through. And Glenn, you know as well as I do, they're winning games. And that makes it so much easier. And I said it to Ian Joy. I know he's on his show as well. And Stuart, you know, when you're like that, he was under no pressure himself, because he's very calm in what he does. You know, he didn't have to go in there. He's not like a young coach. I've got to impress. I've got to make this. I've got to do. He was very calm. He knew exactly what he was doing. They bought into it, and everything was transitioned. He was never having to go in there and bawl a roost and say he's the big coach, because they respected him straight away, and they got through a time where they're comfortable. The biggest thing is Bayern Munich. That is the biggest thing. Not a coach, not a player. Bayern Munich is the biggest thing, and they're back to where they want to be.
Okay, so you just opened the door for me to ask you a really interesting question that I want to know. So that's 98-99 when Ruud Gullit takes over at Newcastle United. So he's been a player manager at Chelsea prior to this. Ego still there? Was he still in a playing mode? Because, you know, if we're being honest here, his management career never lived up to it like the playing career.
Just as a big player. I mean,
Ruud, if you're listening, which I know you listen every week, Ruud, you know, my apologies on the management stuff, but you were a hell of a player.
He was a world class player. You know, one of the best of his generation. You know, a fantastic player, and you know, he came into Newcastle after winning the FA Cup with Chelsea, and, you know, promised this sexy football, but he still thought he was a player. That was his problem. He still come in thinking that he could play, and actually he could, Glenn. We played Reading. We went to Reading Football Club, which is in the south of England, and opened their new stadium. And we was awful. It's a pre-season game. No one was playing well. It was really bad. He then comes in at half-time and says, get me a uniform. I'm going to play. Give me some boots. I'll show you how to do it. And he was phenomenal. He was striking balls 50, 60, 70 yards. Playing it everywhere, and we were like, wow, he could still play. You know, I know it's a pre-season game against Reading, but he was phenomenal. The problem is he couldn't let it go at the beginning. You know, he was wanting to do this. I still can show you. I can do this, rather than trying to let the players do it. And then he went toe-to-toe with someone like Alan Shearer. And just his man management. You know, listen, I don't want to say, but he's Dutch, so they have that certain way about saying things and how they can talk to people and how they are, and if it's not Dutch, it's not much, and all these type of things he would say. And he just lost the change of him. We just lost respect for him because he didn't have any respect for us, and he didn't respect the area. He didn't really understand the area where he said, you know, when Sunderland play Newcastle, it's just a regional game. It's not really a big game.
Yeah.
And when you live up there. So, listen, as much as I love him and he was a wonderful player and a very, very good coach in the sense, man management, and then obviously you can ask Lexi what he was like at Galaxy. He was, you know, more on the golf course than anywhere else.
Yeah,
so
it
wasn't meant to be. But, you know, you learn good and bad things off of Glenn. I was lucky, you know, with Dalgleish and Keegan and Sir Bobby Robson and Venables. But, you know, you learn things off of Rude Hullett as well. Yeah, he was a good golfer, put it that way. He could play golf. You can follow him on Instagram now. He's on the golf course every other day.
He obviously didn't get the Geordie culture too well. But, by the way, before we have to hit a hard break here, that was quite a set of four managers you just mentioned. Can you mention those four again that you were under?
Yeah, I was lucky enough with Kevin Keegan, you know, the times we had there, the entertainers. Kenny Dalglish come along, and he was phenomenal with his work effort and got us to Champions League and FA Cup finals. Rude come in and, as I said, promised Rude Hullett sexy football, but it didn't quite materialise. And then the best of the best, from my opinion, was Sir Bobby Robson. You know, anyone that's, you know, sitting around now with Netflix, go and watch that documentary on Bobby Robson. He was a gentleman. He loved the game. And you would have loved him, Glenn, because he just would have talked your ears off about the game and how passionate and knowledgeable and just a lovely, lovely man. And so much respect for him.
Yeah, I watched that documentary. You just highly recommended it. So do I. I mean, you'll have tears in your eyes at the end of it. And I was over in Manchester the end of November, and there were a number of ex-United players that talked about Robson, as well as some authors over there. And, man, that is a documentary. So, Warren, as always, thank you so much. I hope you get back on the fields, and I hope we get back behind a few microphones here in the near future. Until then, stay good, and we'll get you back on here in a couple shows down the road if you're available.
No problem, my friend. Any time for you. Stay safe, everybody. Thanks, Glenn. You're gentlemen.
All right. The wonderful Warren Barton there. Such a great friend of this show. You ever heard Maximus Dan? Soca Train? Listen to this. We got to let this go a little bit, Tyler. And then coming up is Ian Joy. Played in Germany for St. Pauli. He's coming up on the program. Ian will have a lot to say on the opening of the Premier League. But listen to the chorus on this.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is why Tyler Scott is a great producer, because he took something out from the beginning of that song that would not have been appropriate for radio. That's a song called Kick Out the Jams by MC5, band from outside of Detroit. Unbelievable garage band type music. Fantastic. All right, joining us now, the one and only Ian Joy will join us now, a man that played for FC St. Pauli in Germany for a number of years, understands the game over there better than most, having played there, and also has covered the German Bundesliga for Fox. Ian, how are you?
Glenn, my friend, I'm doing very well. Thank you so much. Keeping myself motivated, keeping myself positive as much as possible, and it's great to hear from you.
Yeah, what have you learned during this? And that's always a good question for anybody that comes on the show. In this time period, learning some things?
Not many people ask that question, so I'm actually glad you're asking it. This has given me an opportunity, Glenn, and you'll understand this because obviously we know each other very well. It's given me an opportunity to slow down. It's given me an opportunity to just take everything that's happened in my life, you know, playing professional soccer, retiring from pro soccer, going into broadcasting, doing that for 8 years now. All the travel that I've gone through over the last 5 years in particular, working with NYCFC and living in California, this has given me some quality time to just take a step back, spend the time with my family. I've got three kids, and I'm very happy with the family time that we've become because of this. And it's an unfortunate circumstance that brought us this time, but I'm going to make the absolute most from it. So it's given me a really new lease for life.
Yeah, yeah, it really is remarkable to have things slow down. So you're a man that's really packed a lot. You're not even 40 years old yet. Unbelievable. You've packed a lot into your life when it comes to playing and your entire career. Now your media. You played Major League Soccer, Real Salt Lake in Portland. Let's go back to playing at St. Pauli in Germany and kind of your thoughts on the German league and overall thoughts from your perspective having played there.
Well, the German league was always a dream of mine to play in from when I was a kid. I actually went over there, believe it or not, don't be fooled by the accent. I was born in California, so I got to play up and grew up through the U.S. youth soccer system. So I played in Germany for the U-17s against Dortmund. I'm actually was at Borussia Dortmund against Bayern Munich. It was an eye-opening experience. I absolutely loved every minute of it. It was an experience I'll never forget, and it made me fall in love. And at that time, there was a Scottish midfielder called Paul Lambert who was playing for Borussia Dortmund. Yeah. It was also the same time that LA Galaxy technical director and our Fox broadcaster, Jovan Karovsky, was playing there, and they had a special team. So it made me really fall in love with it. The atmosphere, you know, the passion from everybody around the game. The stadium was completely sold out, and of course it is Borussia Dortmund, Bayern Munich, but I didn't quite expect to see every single stadium sold out. But when I followed the German league thereafter, I started to realize this is just such a passionate country that loves their soccer. So for me, it was always a dream of mine to go there. I never thought I would be able to turn it into a reality. And I first actually went over to Hamburg on a tryout. I was a free agent. I was only 21 at the time, and I went to Hamburg, and within 2 days, I'd signed an 18-month contract to play for Hamburg. So dreams do come true.
Boy, they do. You appear 34 times for Hamburg, according to what I've looked up in your background. You know what's interesting? So when I get pulled to go on an early morning radio show or a drive time show, you know, at night, which is more predominantly the traditional sports in America, I always mention this fact that the Bundesliga at 45,000 a game is the second highest attended league in the world to the NFL. I'm not sure many people that resonates with them always, including people that are Premier League fans.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize that. And I guess another reason why I'm glad this is happening is because it's given the Bundesliga an opportunity to be that first league back. It's given the Bundesliga an opportunity to have all eyes on them. And a lot of people are starting to really fall for the league, and maybe they weren't paying attention at first. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's watching the league, so it's getting the recognition that I feel it really deserves. And in the U.S., of course, back in the day, I think it was in the 70s and the 80s, the Bundesliga was very popular in the U.S. And now we've started to do a great job over the last 5 years, at Fox in particular, of giving them the limelight once again and trying to turn people over to the Bundesliga that maybe are just learning about soccer, or maybe they're MLS fans that want to follow another team, or maybe they're Premier League fans or Italian fans, Spanish fans, whatever they are. We're trying to convince them that the German Bundesliga has got something special to offer. And the attendance record, like you mentioned, is outstanding, and they have the best goals per game average. So if it's entertainment you're looking for, the Bundesliga has it all.
Yeah, it's youthful, too. I mean, the amount of times commentators this weekend send there's a 17-year-old playing, not to mention the fact that there's 30-plus Americans playing in Germany. I mean, there's all the ingredients there. I know they've opened an office here in the United States. They're very interested in this market. What more can they do?
Well, they are doing an excellent job already, and what they've done over the last 5 years has been outstanding. And I think the commitment with Fox worldwide, but in specific the Americas, focusing on the USA, they've done an outstanding job. The product got better on television, and of course there was a lot of time and money spent on that. Bayern Munich opened an office in New York. The Bundesliga then opened their own office in New York. Eintracht Frankfurt, they now have an office in New York. And the commitment now from the Bundesliga teams being over for preseason or even during their winter break is quite outstanding. And I think the fans around the USA right now are starting to really fall in love with the Bundesliga because of what we just talked about, the attendances, the fans, the goals, the entertainment value is outstanding, but also the fact that they've got a connection now with so many young players playing in that league. The American players playing in the league are blowing it away. And there's a real great reputation, and it's not just because of what's happening right now or what Christian Pulisic did. It's because of the Eric Wijnaldums, the Brian McBrides, the Claudio Reynas. All those guys all went over at a very young age, and they made their name in the Bundesliga. So I'm really impressed with what the Bundesliga have done. As far as what they can do from here on out is more commitment. They've made this big step to go to ESPN, and it's a big commitment from ESPN to also put the Bundesliga on their network and their platforms. Now it's important for the Bundesliga to make sure that what happens around the games, the events that you do, the shows that go on, even ESPN FC, or if it's an event that they're doing in and around their campus, what can they do to get fans involved in it? Where can they go and put cameras next to fan clubs? You know, whatever they can do to make it more relevant to American fans is so important right now, because you're at that 50-50 point. It's going to go one way or another. The Premier League showing how you can do it in this country if you want to take it to the next level. The Bundesliga is certainly ready to make that commitment, and hopefully ESPN are as well.
Talking to Ian Joy, played at Hamburg, played at St. Pauli in Germany. Not only an excellent soccer player, but a great guy as well, and a tremendous commentator as well, as we continue on here. Okay, so Steve Cherundolo is a name that we have to mention. May have had the most consistent career of any American over in Germany. Was he at Leverkusen, right?
He was at Hannover.
Hannover. Mm-hmm. I heard an interview with him the other day, and he said one of the real keys for young American players and any young player coming to Germany is your ability to learn. And he says that ability to learn in the Bundesliga does not stop until maybe you get to about 28 years of age, which I thought was a pretty compelling statement.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge from a guy who spent, you know, his whole career playing over in Germany. And he has become Mr. Bundesliga as far as, you know, the fans are concerned. What he did at Hannover was outstanding. And what he has done since has been simply outstanding as well. He's committed himself to learning his pro licenses. He's helped Hannover out with their youth coaching ranks, and also as well as a stint as an assistant with the first team. He obviously spent some time at Stuttgart as well, which didn't quite work out for him. But he is a fantastic person. He's a great human being, and he's showing everybody the way and how it's done in the Bundesliga. Not many people recognize the career he had, because he wasn't an in-your-face guy. He wasn't a guy who was obviously going to score a ton of goals or produce a ton of assists. This was one of the most consistent players that I've ever seen play the game. Every single week you knew what you were going to get out of Steve Cherundolo. And I think it comes down to the person and the character that he is. And I'm not surprised that he is now trying to inspire the next generation, and hopefully also with the United States now as well. He's got that opportunity where he can inspire the younger kids coming through to play in this country that maybe their future might be in Germany as well.
Yeah, he was a captain at Hannover now. And here's the other thing about him. He was never, you said, an in-your-face guy, but he wasn't one of these guys always looking for the limelight. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but he was not one of these guys. You know, you wouldn't find him on social media, any of this kind of stuff. He was just a solid pro every game, getting it done. And for an American to be named captain at Hannover, that's something special, huh?
Yeah, that's really special. And it tells you the value that he had at that club. And I don't think there's been a player at Hannover who has lived up to the stature that what Steve Cherundolo has thrown at that club. A little disappointing that they found themselves out of the top flight now. But hopefully he can possibly play a role in trying to help them at some point get back up to the top flight, because of his career that he had there. But, I mean, that is an unbelievable achievement. The amount of games that he played in the league, the German Cup games that he played, obviously captain in the side, and spending so much time in the top flight. I like to see that, Glenn. I like to see players go over to the Bundesliga and commit themselves long-term to the German league. And it's not easy nowadays, because the money is really in the Premier League, but the Bundesliga is doing a better job of that. They're doing a great job of keeping the younger players very happy and satisfied. And you only have to look at a club like Borussia Dortmund, for example. All of these young, talented players who are not German go to the club. They want to stay there. And of course, unless a big transfer fee comes in for them, they can stay and play at that club and play in the Bundesliga for as long as they want.
Ian Joy joining us. What about Jadon Sancho and the move that he made? You know, he was a part of that very good under 20 England, under 20 national team that played in the FIFA World Cup. And then he, unlike a lot of the other guys, makes the move to go to Dortmund and Germany. And man, what a masterstroke move in that guy's career.
His story is really incredible, Glenn. I mean, for such a youngster to be brave enough to tell Manchester City, no, I'm not going to stay and sit on your bench and be patient. I need to play right now. I think he was 16 at the time, possibly 17, when he made that decision. I want to go on. I want to play at a big club, and I feel like I'm ready to do that. And I've got to respect Manchester City for providing his wish to make that come true. And they allowed him to go to Borussia Dortmund. It was a small transfer fee. It was in and around the $10 million mark. And at that time, for a kid who hadn't played really many professional games at all, that was a lot of money for Dortmund to spend. But he has been sensational. And I will go as far as to tell you that he is more valuable than any other player in the Bundesliga at this moment in time. Because of his age, because of the fact that he's English, and because of the fact that this guy scores goals. Last year he got 12 goals. This year he's already on 14. And he's already, I think, on 15 assists for this campaign before the break. A little disappointed not to see him this weekend where he took his place on the bench, but just building himself back to full fitness. What he has done at that club has been simply outstanding. And I think he's showing the young generation around Europe and around the world that if you're young enough, if you're good enough and you're young, it doesn't matter. The age doesn't matter. German clubs will give you an opportunity to play, and Borussia Dortmund now have a talent on their hands that, in my opinion, is worth well in excess of 150 million euros.
Unbelievable. What a story that is. And it's pretty evident for young players. Boy, Germany is the place to be. Ian, thank you so much. You're a good man. I appreciate you coming on. Great insight here on the program tonight on a number of different topics. Thank you very much for that, and we'll be in touch soon.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and stay safe.
All right. He's the one and only Ian Joy. That man knows a lot about the Bundesliga and Germany, having played there for both Hamburg and St. Pauli. So big appreciation for Ian coming on the show tonight. Also has done a lot of New York City FC games in Major League Soccer, as well as the Bundesliga for Fox. It's a band called London Beat. I've been thinking about you. We'll take a break. Come back. I got some Albert Elise news and some other news from around the world. We'll do one more segment, 713-780-3776. If you want to make a call, you want to come on the air.
Research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
So that's two people that should be in the Hall of Fame. Steve Cherundolo should be in the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame. Pretty sure he isn't yet. Steppenwolf should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah, good stuff. That was good stuff for me and Joy, Warren Barton, everybody tonight, really hitting it good on these interviews. And that's what I want on this show. I want people to come on and speak their mind, have an opinion, we just don't want the canned responses because that's not good radio. It's not going to help anybody. It's not going to help the show. It's not going to keep you interested, which is what I want to do. So I told you that Albert Elise, and by the way, the show is presented, as always, by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And again, just remember, if you need a personal injury attorney, you get in an accident, motorcycle, industrial construction, you might work in a plant, you might drive an 18-wheeler. By the way, you guys drive an 18-wheelers. You guys are king. They're going to cover you 24/7 nights and weekends. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Now, tomorrow night, they're also the presenting sponsor at 7 o'clock on The Horn in Austin, Texas, our Austin Soccer Matters show. And tomorrow we'll have a couple of good Tyson Wall, who heads up their youth side of things, is going to come on and talk some youth soccer. Which I spoke to Olivier Finidori, the former Houston hotshot. He runs and is the head man and technical director at Cyfair Dynamos. You've heard me talk to him over the years. He's been on the show. They've done a lot of charity work here in Houston. We really thank them a lot. Great Jim Walker's out there as well. The great Joby Napier. They started training, and I had a conversation with him today about it, and they spoke about how their teams in the USC, I think it's the United Soccer League, got off and going. But he said, really, you know, we kind of had to come up with our own protocol for this. He said it worked out perfectly yesterday. The parents stayed in the cars, the way they dropped the kids off, the way they had them socially distanced. They put a lot of time and effort into it, but he was very happy with how it went on Monday. And again, here in the state of Texas, teams are okay to be back in training following protocol per the state and the governor. But counties that control parks can close and keep the parks closed. So there you have that on the youth soccer side of things. Now, I haven't gotten to this topic about screening tonight. I'm going to wait for next week to talk about that. But that's a very interesting topic. I posted something over at Facebook Soccer Matters. Please go read this article over there. It's from The Independent in England. But if you're a youth soccer coach or any soccer coach, you're interested in player development, this is about a thing called screening. So head over there, read that article. It's pretty interesting. You're not going to want to not read that article. I don't think there's any question. Scanning is basically the act of looking away from the ball and over your shoulder. So it's being able to glance as the ball's coming to you, being able to take snapshots. It's awareness. And those who do it the most frequently are those that understand indigenously their surroundings. And therefore, they have, according to this piece, the most information in their minds when they receive the ball. And you can see how it's implemented from youth players all the way through to full-time professionals. So it's a very interesting article. It's over there on Facebook Soccer Matters. I would love for you to go to glendavissoccer.com, blogging over there. I'm going to put a fresh blog up tomorrow. We're going to do the show tomorrow night in Austin. Now, on Albert Elise. Now, he could very well leave the Dynamo as a free transfer. Albert Elise was on a Zoom on a TV show in Honduras with the former MVP of Major League Soccer, Alex Pineda Chacon. The show was called Con Pineda Chacon, TV in Honduras. He was on for a long period of time. During that interview, Albert Elise said the Dynamo bought him for $4.5 million from Monterrey after having only played five games in Monterrey. So here's two of his quotes. I'm going to just basically read them. He said, Monterrey bought me for $2 million and sold me for $4.5 million after a year. I think it was a good deal. But Monterrey, once the Dynamo bought me because they thought they were not going to buy me. So in other words, Monterrey didn't think, according to Albert Elise, that the Dynamo were going to buy him. I remember that the president of Monterrey called my agent that they wanted the Dynamo to loan me back. The Dynamo did not want to. They just bought me. Why would they loan me? Interesting. Elise would go on to say, yes, England is always my dream, but I know most likely that if I want to go to England, first I have to go to another league, prove myself there, and then try to make the leap. Well, this is my last year here at the Dynamo. It's the last year of my contract. I would have liked that this year had been different, but we already know with everything that is happening, we do not know how the year will end. God first. The sure thing is that in January, I will be on another team. It's pretty strong from Albert Elise. Now, what if the Dynamo threw a boatload of money at him? But boy, if he leaves on a free, where we heard at times there was valuation on him, whether this is true or not, because sometimes in the whole buying and selling game, the valuation gets certainly overvalued. But this isn't a good time for transfers now. So very interesting stuff from Albert Elise, which led to another interesting thing that was presented to me. Somebody said to me, well, could Albert Elise play in the Bundesliga? Because, you know, we're all watching the Bundesliga. I think the answer is athletically, no question. But the big question goes back to Steve Cherundolo, who talked about when you come to the Bundesliga, you have to have an appetite to learn till you're 28 years of age. And we all know how disciplined the Germans are. We know how tactical they are. We know coaches will ask you to do specific things. That may be the challenge for Albert if he got there. Could he be more pliable and flexible? Will he have that ability to learn? Different environment, different league. And a lot of Americans over there now, over 30. So there's some news on Albert Elise. There's also a lot of crazy transfer. Oh, I don't know, rumors, speculation, whatever you want to call them. Manchester United showing some interest in Bayern midfielder Quentin Tolisso, who would probably be considered to replace Paul Pogba, who you got to wonder if he's going to still be there. I mean, there's all kinds of things coming out of Manchester that they're trying to keep him there, be the focal point of the team, et cetera, with some of the buys they want to make. The Championship, which is below the Premier League in England, their salary cap may be restricted. Now, remember, listen to this, 15 to 20 million pounds. Think of how much more of a salary cap that is than in the U.S. But that is not for another 12 months from now. But there may be a restriction on their salary cap. And I think there's a lot of teams and leagues around the world that are eyeing Major League Soccer, especially during this crisis, because of their centralized league and their fiscal responsibility. We saw that coming out of Mexico. Arsenal and Arteta, they are eyeing Adrien Rabiot, Aston Villa. They want 80 million pounds for Jack Grealish, please. I mean, the man's talented, don't get me wrong. Space City Villains, you know that. He's talented. I saw him score a great goal at Old Trafford, but 80 million pounds in this time period, please. And Barcelona and Liverpool after Kai Havertz. All right, we're going to wind it up. There is opposition to the Premier League starting on June 12th. They're getting back to training. Italy is still a real question mark as to what's going to happen there. And again, a great show tonight. A big thank you to John Walker, Houston Dynamo, Ian Joy, also Warren Barton, and Sam Stashkel of The Athletic. Big thank you to, as always, Victor Ariza, big part of this show. Tyler Scott handling things back in studio, coming up with that gem with Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits. GlenDavisSoccer.com, Facebook Soccer Matters. Get over there. Twitter, GlenDavisSoc. Would love for you to give me a like, because I don't know if anybody likes me. I've been in quarantine. And also, Instagram, GlenDavisSoc. That'll do it for tonight. Thank you for tuning in, everyone.